Hi, friends. Welcome back to the All Bodies on Bikes podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated. We have a very special episode for you today that was actually recorded live in Portland, Oregon on February 12th, where we had the world premiere of our brand new film. This film is called We Are Cyclists, the All Bodies on Bike story, and it was made by Shimano. So during today's podcast, you are going to hear five different voices, which I know is different than usually hearing me and Ellen. And so I wanted to come on and give you a little bit of context for who you are going to hear. Moderating the discussion is AC Cohen. AC was our Kansas City chapter leader, and he has recently moved out to Portland, Oregon, where he will be getting involved with the chapter out here. You also hear my voice. This is Marley and Kaylee Kornhauser, who is our co-founder and board president. We're the main voices that you hear, but you're also going to hear two other voices. You're going to hear Nick Legan and Robin Sansom. Nick is our brand manager at Shimano, and he gives some really cool insight into how Shimano operates as a company and why they chose to create this film about all bodies on bikes and support our organization. And then Robin, the last voice that you'll hear, is the director of the film. He runs a production company called Offsite Studios and was just a delight to work with in making this film, and he really brought the story to life. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. The film will be premiering on YouTube on March 18th. It will be on the Shimano YouTube channels, and we will have links all over our social media. Again, it is called We Are Cyclists, the All Bodies on Bikes story, and I hope you enjoy. So welcome to a live edition of the All Bodies and Bikes podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated. Let's get into it. I'm not going to facilitate this. We have our good friend of the brand, AC, who's helped us with all of our expos. He was our Kansas City chapter leader, and he actually just moved to Portland. I'm Marley Blonsky. This is my co-founder, Kaylee Kornhauser, who is also our board president. We have Robin Sansom, who is the director of the film, and Nick Legan, who is our Shimano brand manager.
We'll get started with a question for Robin. Robin, when you were working on this film, how did you approach filming bodies, movement, and joy in a way that felt affirming rather than extractive?
Oh, that was really easy. Like, you can't be around anybody on this crew without experiencing joy. Matter of fact, we had some moments when we were filming where we needed to talk about some serious things, and these guys would be like, oh yeah, that sucks, but man, we did this and that and the other, and it turned out awesome. And I'm like, well, you gotta stay with that sucks for a second. Hang on with that for a second. So yeah, finding the joy with this crew is so easy.
For Kaylee and Marley, the film follows three events across the country. Why was it important to show this work in multiple places rather than in just a single community?
I can start because I have a microphone. The first film was really just the two of us, and it was like at the very earliest you could possibly appropriately film something during COVID. So we were not going to be in community, but also we hadn't really built it yet. And I think you can see that we're talking about it, and Marley especially is like brainstorming it as we're making the film. And in fact, the film crew in the first film was kind of pushing us to think of like, what's next? And you were already thinking, what's next? And now we are truly a national, somewhat kind of an international organization with all volunteer run chapters, gravel team. Like, it is truly a grassroots volunteer organization, and there are probably 100 people closely affiliated and giving so much of their time. And so we wanted the second film to feature those people and continue to tell the story that we told in the first one. But
I think the other part is cycling looks different in a lot of different places. I lived in Bentonville, Arkansas when this was filmed, and
finding inclusive cycling groups there looks very different than Portland, where you can just get on a website and there's 20 rides a day some days where anybody can show up. So I think it was important to showcase that. It can be mountain biking, it can be city biking, it can be any kind of riding, and no type of riding is necessarily better than the other.
Nick, you shared that you received some pushback internally at Shimano when you came to them with the idea. Someone in the audience wants to know what specifically were the reasons that folks came here.
Well, boy, that's a loaded one for me to answer. Thank you. A challenge in marketing. I'll be honest. I think I shared this with Marley and Kaylee at the time. When I shared a visual with Japan, the initial response was laughter. And that didn't feel good to me. I'm in a smaller body by a lot of standards, but I struggle with body self-image. I struggle with that too. And I have a lot of people in my life who are in larger bodies. And so it didn't feel good. And I said, oh, hold on, you know, can we pause here and really take a second look at this? And to be honest, I put it in kind of financial terms. And that is a great, it's always sound reasoning when you can make a financial case to do something. We're trying to sell bikes and bike products. So yeah, we got through, and the response now internally is really, really positive, which is really rewarding. So, you know, 5 years on, we've made real gains there.
You told me one time about the influence how a trade show booth is laid out.
Yeah, absolutely. We brought Marley and Kaylee in, and we did an internal training with our marketing team. The biggest takeaway for that was that we create more space between displays in our expo booths. Which is really cool, and we make sure that the chairs are sound, you know, so it's a comfortable space for someone to come and sit down. And I think that unless you're in a larger body, it might not even occur to you that's a limiter or it's discouraging for people. And the whole point of our brand is to be encouraging and inclusive. So, yeah, little things like that make a big difference, I think.
Marley, you've worked with some brands, and Kaylee, you have to, on adding sizes to size ranges, making hard goods a little bit more accommodating. Do you feel like you've made progress?
Yes and no. It felt like when this first came out, it was 2021, and it was like the height of DEI and inclusion, and it was at the, every brand wanted a part of it, and they wanted to, felt like, genuinely serve people in all bodies. And my first apparel sponsor was Pearl Izumi, and I chose them because they had a couple things in the 3X, and when we had that conversation about being sponsored, it was, okay, yeah, we're gonna work on expanding our size availability. And then, you know, business happens, they got sold and bought by a different company, and that project went out the window. And so I now work with other brands that do a wonderful job at size inclusion, but it feels like, especially in the plus size world, we have lost a lot of ground over the last couple years. And so, yes, as far as awareness, as far as products go, maybe not. I will say one win that we've really had, and I think this is attributable to All Bodies on Bikes, is more and more brands are making the weight limits visible. Especially with the direct-to-consumer e-bikes and cargo bikes, you can go on to Electric or Rad or Aventon or any of those, and they have the weight limit right there. And so we're trying to work with some of the more endemic brands to also get that to happen, but I think we've made good progress there.
Okay, here's a softball. What are your first memories riding a bike?
Okay. My first memory riding a bike, I was 4. We lived in the Chicago suburbs, not a very bike-friendly place, but my parents were like, we're going somewhere. So we rode 4 miles round trip when I was like 4 or 5 to a deli. We got a sandwich and came back.
Are we all doing it?
Okay. I actually learned to ride a motorcycle before a bike. Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole pedaling was a little weird.
But you had the balance.
Balance was okay.
My first memory was the training wheels off and getting pushed down the gentle hill in the yard, and then realizing I was headed straight for a tree and didn't know how to stop or turn.
Oh, no.
So I just kind of rode up the tree and fell over, and, you know, it's all been downhill since then.
I have this weird memory. We rode bikes all the time as kids, but I used to always turn it upside down and do the crank, and it was an ice cream machine in my brain. Yes! Okay! I'm not the only one, but that's like seared in my brain.
What does belonging actually look like at an All Bodies on Bikes event, and how could the new film attract new riders?
I love this question. I realized a couple years ago that like my blessing and my curse, and I can walk into a place and see you feel awkward, you feel like you're in charge, whatever it is. And so I've been able to kind of bring that to All Bodies on Bikes and make sure that like we're engaging individually with each person that comes. We've trained our ride leaders that you say hi to everybody, you make them feel welcome, make sure everybody has questions. But also like autonomy is a big thing. So I always tell folks like Sunday, for example, we're gonna ride up to Forest Park, which is a big hill. And I always tell people, you're adults, you can choose your adventure. You know, you can walk, you can ride, you can do whatever you want. But I think meeting people where they're at and genuinely connecting with them, instead of just like, hey, thanks for coming, but genuinely making those relationships and meeting folks where they're at.
I'll just add that part of our chapter program in ride leading is we're very explicit about some rules for inclusion. So I think it's like the social like part where you get to a ride and you're welcomed, but we also like we post our routes. We post the miles per hour we're going to be riding. We post the elevation we're going to be riding. We tell people if there's going to be a food stop. We tell people what it means to have a sweeper on the ride, that someone's going to be at the back. There's going to be a leader. You're never going to go in front of them. We're really clear about all of those things in our advertising. And I think that's pretty common here in Portland, but it is not common everywhere. And even when it is, people are usually posting something like party pace, which is like, sounds fun, but what the hell does that mean? So we're just like, we try to be explicit so people know what they're signing up for. And we have seen that that has worked really well. We've had people come on rides for their first time in 25 years, people that haven't ridden in a group or even outside their neighborhood. We have kids come because their parents feel like they know what they're signing up for. So it just like creates a sense of like belonging from the beginning.
Lots of questions from the audience about the retail program. Maybe you can give us an overview of how that developed and where it's at.
Yeah, so the retailer program, it really came out of just a need that we saw, a need that other people were telling us, like, oh, I went to this bike shop and they told me they didn't have anything for me, or just poor experiences at retailers. And we realized this is a solvable problem. We have the knowledge, we have the reach, we have the tools, let's try and figure this out. We've got some folks on the crew who are bike industry professionals. And so we got together and put together a curriculum. Essentially, it walks through culture, communication. It's an awkward conversation when you need to ask somebody how much they weigh to set up their suspension correctly. Like, it's an awkward thing. And so we teach people the language and then we practice scenarios. We did a pilot program in Bentonville. We had gotten a grant from the League of American Bicyclists and we did a pilot program there and it was really well received. We're going to DC in March for the National Bike Summit and we're gonna present it there. And then we're trying to figure out what rollout looks like. We are a nonprofit. We do have bills to pay, we have salary to pay. And so we are trying to make that kind of a source of revenue, but the bike industry is in a really tough place right now. So when we started talking to shops about this and saying, you know, what we thought was a fair price point, which was like not exorbitant, bike shops just don't have the wiggle room right now. And so we're just trying to figure out like, what can a meaningful rollout look like that trains people, but also provides benefit to the bike shops. So if anybody has experience with this or ideas, shoot me an email because this is a big project we're working on and we're really trying to figure it out. I don't have any answers right now, but I think we are going to try and put on workshops here in Portland. We're going to figure it out.
Can I add one thing?
Please.
Part of the program from the like community side is that we want people in larger bodies or just people who are worried about going to a bike shop in general to have a map and know where in their community there are shops that have been trained in on this. And so they'll be like given a decal added to our map as a store that's been trained in this. And we've had success. When we first got going, we did quite a bit. It didn't look as formal as this, but we did a training with all of the Evo staff on what it looks like to be inclusive to people in larger bodies and other organizations. So we've been chipping away.
Yeah.
Marley and Kaylee, you've both done some really long, challenging rides. I've seen you both finish 100-mile off-road rides before. One of the questions we got was, how do you navigate those fears and concerns about riding alone, being the slowest, maybe even not being able to finish it when you're not in an all-bodies-on-bike space?
Yeah.
Kaylee, maybe you could speak to your experience finishing Mid-South on your own.
Yeah, I did Mid-South 100 a couple years ago, and it was my first time doing a 100-mile gravel. It's a gravel race, basically, race for me. And air quotes for the people on the podcast. audio format.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm nervous. You're nervous at the start. But it's supported in the way that, like, what's the worst that could happen? That's what I always ask myself. Like, what's the worst that could happen? And from riding for a really long time and always being the slowest one, I'm not that worried about being slow anymore. That just comes with time. Now I don't care. Like, now I'm just having fun, and it takes longer, but it's a beautiful day, so I'm just out there longer. Yeah, and I just think to myself, okay, if the bike breaks, they got Jeeps to come get me. And I brought a bunch of edibles. And snacks. So not a lot could go wrong.
That wasn't a good answer.
That was a great answer.
It was a true answer.
It's a true answer. I mean, I'm not going to go there. I want to, but I'm not going to go there. I actually enjoy riding alone. I feel a weird pressure when I'm, like, riding with somebody else. And you like riding people. I like riding alone. But, yeah, I think it's just having the not, like, for folks who are scared to maybe be out there by yourselves, having a backup plan. So knowing that, like, maybe there's a bus that is on your route that you can bail to if you need to. Maybe you've got a friend or a significant other on call that you could drop a pin and they can come pick you up. But also knowing that you're strong. And cycling is, like, as long as you keep eating snacks, you can keep going. And as long as your bike works. So just reminding yourself that, like, your ride doesn't have to look like everybody else's. And I always like to relish my speed. You know, I have a lot of friends who are in, like, the pro category, and I'm like, oh my god, did you guys see those donkeys at mile 13? And they're like, no, we didn't see any of that. But it's like, when you're going slow, you can stop, you can take pictures, you can enjoy the day.
The film really centers joy. Why do we feel that joy is such a powerful and radical tool?
Yeah, the world is trying really hard to steal our joy. And you said it in the film, it's not our concept. Joy is a radical act. No matter what they do, they can't take joy from us. And for a long time, fat people haven't been allowed to move their bodies because they want to, and because it feels good and it's joyful. And yeah, I look at, like, the first film, and I was just stepping into feeling joy for the first time in my own movement. And I feel, like, really far away from that now. Now I don't even think about it. Like, it's just a given that I should be able to have joy. And yeah, we're living in a time where the powers that be want to take joy away from the most oppressed people. And so we should have joy.
The organization's 6 years old. It's been a nonprofit for almost 3 years. What have been the biggest surprises?
These are really hard questions. I think for me, it's been surprising how successful it's been. The way that it's resonated, especially among the cycling industry and the pros who have maybe never been in a bigger body a day in their lives, but they relate to kind of the universal thing that we're talking about. I think some of the other surprises was, like, I got to go to the Tour de France last year, I got to stand on the podium on the Tour de France, which was really cool. But people were on the side of the road, and I was wearing my All Bodies on Bikes jersey, and people, like, were cheering for me in French, and that was a big surprise. And I think
that's
really cool.
Yeah, I think. We say in the films, like, I mean, we're surprised by how many people are attracted to the message and mission. Although now that I see, like, the space, I'm like, oh yeah, why wouldn't people want to be part of this? Like, it's so fun. But I think I've been surprised by how many amazing people have given their volunteer time. Like, truly, you can't even see a tenth of it in this film, what people have done. And they truly have given so much of themselves. And some of them, like, maybe raise your hand if you're at all affiliated with All Bodies on
Bodies. They're all in the
They're all like volunteering right now. They're like continuing to do things. It's just that has been so cool, and I've met the best people that way. So,
I mean, honestly, I got a career out of it. I was doing corporate America before, and then when the film came out, Kaylee and I got our initial sponsorships from CompetitiveCyclist.com. But we're fans of BikeTiresDirect.com now because
they're all the same. Yeah.
They're all the same.
Everybody's the same.
BikeTiresDirect does contribute to All Bodies on Bikes, which is awesome. But anyway, we got this sponsorship, and I saw this like alternate vision of my future, and I was like, if I can bang together a couple more sponsorships, I can be free. And here we are. Like, I don't have a real job, but it's, well, I guess I'm executive director. I do have a real job. I'm also off the job. I have many jobs, but I don't have to go sit at a desk and report to a boss. Like, Kaylee is my boss. Our board is the boss. Like, it's been just an incredible pivot in my life that I didn't see coming. Yeah. Nick, have there been any surprises on the Shimano end?
No.
Okay.
it's all going to go like this.
We did get to do a rag ride together a couple years ago, which I might be making a big assumption here, but I think for Shimano to embrace the type of riding that All Bodies on Bikes does, I think it's opened you guys up to potentially a lot of other folks that you wouldn't have seen before. You know, we were driving in the car here today and just talking about, you know, like when you're deeply embedded in the bike industry, all you see over and over again is like racing style bikes, carbon, performance, like how much faster can we make these athletes go? And when you're riding around Portland or you're in this community, that's not what you see at all. And so I think that we've kind of helped make the case that people in all styles and sizes deserve good product.
I 100% agree. And actually what's interesting is, this is so pitchy of me, but we have a new collection of product called Shimano Qs. I don't need to get into the details. The point, though, is that it was designed from the ground up. Historically, a lot of lower-end product or more affordable product has been trickled down. So it's like this is what the racers used to have a few years ago. And now the design concept is bottom-up, or actually it's arguably not even bottom-up. It's designed specifically for a given user type. And Qs, for example, is a great product because it's a high durability product for people in larger bodies. You might wear out brake pads or chains or cassettes faster, and we have solutions to that. And that's one of the cool things about working at Shimano. And I think that is one example. And absolutely, I mean, All Bodies on Bikes has helped open our eyes repeatedly because we're also a supporter of All Bodies on Bikes. We sponsor Marley. She's one of our most important ambassadors here in the United States. And we've had a lot of fun at non-race events like Rag Ride. If you don't know what Rag Ride is, it's this crazy bike tour across the state of Iowa, a lot of cornfields. But it's a lot of fun too, and it's people of all shapes and sizes, all kinds of weird. I've met a dude on a unicycle who's like riding across the country. Anyway, so we have had some surprises along the way, for sure.
Okay, the question for you from the audience about the first film. We want to know if you ever got that tent pole put back together.
I was generously gifted a new tent recently. Featured in the second film. I don't think we ever fixed it. Oh, we did fix the pole. That tent, that's got a lot of problems, I think.
Yeah. It's funny though, having seen that first film like hundreds of times now, it gets funnier every time. And I'm just like, oh my god, it's incredible.
Robin, a quick one for you. Someone in the audience wants to know the logistics behind getting our logo and lights on the office building in New York City.
Oh, yeah. That was just hours and hours of Photoshop.
It was worth it. You
called for extra budget.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Shimano, they offer really great support. The budget was way right here. And we got all those people to turn their office lights on just in the right sequence. No, Photoshop. I'm glad somebody maybe thought that could have happened in real life. Yeah.
Okay, real quick though, like behind the scenes film thing that happened that was really funny. So we were all in New York City. There were three filmmakers with us, and they were like, we're going to rent e-bikes so we can ride the whole tour with you. And the tour of New York, the 5-Borough Tour, it's 40 miles long. It's very, very fun, but it's a long day. And these poor guys, you had like three gears, and the batteries died maybe halfway through the day.
I think maybe 60%
of the way. 60% of the way? And we're not fast, but if folks are familiar with New York, we went up the Verrazano Bridge, which is like an interstate grade bridge. These poor guys had like all their camera equipment, it had started pouring down rain, and these like 80-pound e-bikes. It was incredible. So kudos to you guys for making it happen.
To be fair, my bike died at the top of the Verrazano Bridge, which was awesome. The other two boys died at the bottom of the bridge.
Those were not Shimano e-bikes.
No. Just one more question, and this will be for each of you to answer. And let's start with Nick. What impact do you hope the new film has on individuals, communities, and the bike industry?
I hope it emboldens all of you to invite someone on a bike ride and to make it a good time. Clearly, we all have a lot of fun together. You all have been amazing. You're having, I think, fun tonight, if we can read the room a little bit. That's it. I mean, bikes, they're the most beautiful invention. And if we can make them fun, we can't lose.
The film was a bit tough in the sense that the first film was really great. Like, they did a really great job. And they really told this emotional story. And we had an obligation to sort of tell, like, here's what's come out of that story, you know, and there's a lot of nuts and bolts to that. And honestly, when you were talking about, you know, all the people that help you out, like, I have so much footage. We could make a feature length film with all the footage we have of all these amazing people that work with you guys. And so we wanted to sort of tell that narrative of seeing this progress and what you guys are bringing to the world. But in terms of takeaway, and we talked about this a lot, and it was just joy. We just kept coming back to, like, we gotta leave people just wanting to go out and do something joyful, wanting to leave the room right now and go do something really fun.
I love that. Yeah, I think, like, organizationally, we hope that more people get involved. If there's a chapter by them, that they join a chapter ride. If they are interested in the retail program, they get involved in that. Where our gravel program's gonna look different next year, but, you know, we'll be at gravel races and other bike events, like, get involved in that. We wanna expand our chapter programs. Like, if you're in a place that doesn't have one, reach out. So I think, like, that would be amazing, but I think what you said, Robin, is perfect. Like, we just keep coming back to, like, if bikes are what bring you joy, get on a bike. Otherwise, do whatever brings you joy. And hopefully this inspires people to do that.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. I hope it brings a smile to people's faces. One thing we didn't touch on, Kaylee didn't touch on, is one of the easiest ways to get involved is to become a member. I know NPR is running our pledge drive this week, so I don't need to repeat it, but we have a membership program too. and one of the coolest things is we realized along the way that we have all these resources and knowledge, so we've put together a bunch of resource guides that are available to members only. And when I say resources, like, we have a list of e-bikes for people over 300 pounds. We have a list about, like, how to fit your bike for bigger bodies, things like that. But please become a member. If you're able to become a supporting member, we've got, you know, different tiers. And that really helps us get going because the nonprofit funding landscape is very challenging right now. And I hope people take away that we are fun. Okay, thank you to AC for moderating. Hopefully you were aware of, this was our world premiere tonight, and we're gonna actually put it back in the box. It will not be shown again until March 18th, and then it'll debut on all of Shimano's channels. And so we would love your help when March 18th comes. We're gonna send out a blast of newsletters, and it'll be all over social media. But please tell your friends, tell your family. Thank you all so much for coming. We really, really appreciate this. This has been just an absolute dream come true. So thank you for being part of our amazing community.